to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. Today, of course, is Father's Day, which is why I'm holding these flowers. I think I'm going to have you sit for this.
Amen.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have you sit for this. We want to honor our fathers today. And one way we do that is by giving you a small token. We gave all fathers bookmarks as you came in. I hope that you all get them, but the ushers have them in the back if you didn't get your bookmark. But now we want to honor the oldest, the youngest, and the father with the most children. So I'm going to start with the oldest. Do we have any fathers in here over 80 years old? Right there, a two, okay, and right there, we have three. And so you all get the prize. You get the prize. One, two, three. This is for Lauren. And this is for Ron. And this is for Lewis. And you too. Are you over 80 years old? You are. What am I going to do? I've run out of flowers. Okay. Okay. We can only have one winner now because I've only got two left. The youngest and the mostest. Okay, the youngest, do we have any fathers in here under 40 years old? Ben? I can use that one? Okay.
I got another one you can use, too.
Well, okay. You got another one I can use. Okay, we'll give this one back here. Here we go. Happy Father's Day. And then, Ben, we'll get this one. Oh my goodness. I'm giving them all away. Here you go. You're way under 40.
I got the one for Ben.
Okay. Wow, I didn't know we had so many fathers in here. Okay, now the father with the most children. And there can be no ties. There can be no ties. Okay. Let's see. Do we have any fathers who have more than five children? More than five children. More than five children. Okay. What, are you pointing to somebody?
That's where it came from.
A bunch of Navy guys here.
All right, all right. Who has five children? Any father who has five children?
Andy.
Andy does. Okay, well, Andy gets this back. So we appreciate our fathers very much. And I'm so glad so many of you are here today. That's a terrific thing, and we are so grateful to all dads everywhere. I appreciate you. They're very important. Dads are very important. But we also, I wanted to mention something real briefly, and then we'll pass the peace of Christ. I wanted to mention that you got an extra item passed out to you. It is from our bishop in the annual conference, the response to the Orlando shooting. Came from our bishop and cabinet, and so I passed that out for all of you. It wasn't a resolution, it's just a statement coming from the bishop and the cabinet that the annual conference endorsed. I've been at annual conference this week. I was at annual conference, and I wanted to make sure everybody had a copy of that. If you happen to miss it, there are more in the back. You can get one of those statements before you leave if you'd like to have that. So now let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
No choir practice.
She's
so cute.
For a couple more years, I think.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he had springer. Nitty gritty dirt man.
Happy Father's Day. Am I turned on?
No.
I need to get it. There we go. We have just a quick couple of announcements here. My name is Jamie Stowers. I worship and serve here at Calvary. We have a couple of announcements. We have a communication meeting Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. The normal youth at 5:30, but there will be no choir practice this week. There will be no choir practice this week. Oh, and also there will be no Thursday night Bible study. We'd had something planned for a couple months now. All right. I have an important announcement from about the VBS. There is a meeting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and everyone is needed that can make it. They'll be cutting out the costumes along with other various things that are very important toward Vacation Bible School, which is in just a couple weeks away. So please, 10 a.m. tomorrow. All right. Our opening words is in your bulletin.
Jamie, I got one.
Oh, we got one more.
There will be food bank again this coming Friday, and we are in need of pasta sauce, pasta, and peanut butter.
And canned goods.
Any canned goods.
In case you didn't hear, Larry, the food bank will be happening again this Friday, and we're in need of pasta, sauce, and
peanut butter,
and any kind of canned goods. All right, our opening words. Come, Lord God, and be with us in this hour.
Too often our cares and our worries keep us at a distance from our God.
Come, Lord God, and speak a word of comfort to your troubled people.
Help us hear you, Lord God, in the quietness of these moments.
Amen.
If you'd all stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing As the Deer.
As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You
to you alone may my spirit
All right, and if you would turn to number 887, we'll have our affirmation of faith. You tell them about it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor might nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I wanted to ask you, oh, looky here. Hey, sweetheart. I wanted to talk with you about something a little bit more serious today than I normally do, because you may have noticed that something happened this last week in Orlando, and I wanted you to tell me if you remembered what it was. Yes. Okay. You've been reading about it for the whole week. Yes, that's right. That's right. 50 that were killed. Uh-huh. You have been following this, yes. 53 injured. Uh-huh. A whole lot. Well, what I wanted to find out is, what your reaction to it was. What was your reaction to it? He said he found it very sad that a person would go and try to shoot everyone. And I bet you that's a common and normal reaction that a lot of you are probably feeling. Maybe not just sadness, but other things as well. Does anybody else want to share something about their feelings about what happened in Orlando? Would anybody like to say? You don't have to, of course. I just want to give you a chance to say it if you would like to. And let me ask you what you think we should do as Christian people. What kind of response should we make being Christian people? Okay. We can pray for the families. That's a wonderful response. Yes. What were you going to say? Pray for the people who were killed to go to heaven. Okay. And as for kindness and respect in our communities. Okay. That's a good response. Yeah. Those are all responses that we can have as Christian people. And the main thing we want to remember during all of this time is that God asks us to love one another, doesn't he? We're asked to love. And that love is not just a feeling, but it's also an action. And that we can act and do things like kindness, like show kindness to others. Do you know what kind of kindness people are showing in Orlando at this particular time? Have you seen anything on the news about things that are people are doing to show their love? No? Okay, flowers and arrangements for the families are being donated. That's an act of love and kindness. Yeah? Helping out at the hospital, maybe volunteering at the hospital, something like that. Yep. Oh, there you are. Yep, yep. We saw this guy who donated crosses to help with the memorial. There's been a memorial out there in public where people have put their flowers, and this man made homemade crosses and contributed it to the memorial. Yep. Right, there were people who, Chick-fil-A, who donated food to those who were standing in line to donate blood. There's lots of different ways that we can show our love in action. And I want you to think about that a little bit and see if there's something you think you might be able to do. There's something for all of us to do to show our love. And that's what the Bible teaches us, that love is action. And that's how we show our love today. And I want to thank you all for being up here and for being so sweet and honest with me today. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, for these children. And we pray to you because they are so precious. And you love them so much. And you love your children everywhere, oh God. And so we pray for children around the world, especially those who are suffering today and their families. This we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's get some candy. One piece. Okay. Come on, take a piece. Okay. Can you take one? Good. Did you want a piece? One for yourself? Okay. Thank you. She is so cute, isn't she? She's getting to be such a big girl. She's walking down here with that is just so sweet. We continue to serve God in our worship service this morning. She wants to come back. She wants to come up here. With the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, will the ushers please come and wait upon us. Let us pray. God, we are your people called to be here in this place at this time, and help us to know what to do in times of tragedy and sorrow, that we might be your people called to love and to share love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. we come now to have a time of prayer to God this morning, and I know that there are some folks that we need to be lifting up in prayer. I want to say what a joy it is to see Marlene in church today.
Amen.
Yeah. She's been having a rough time lately, and we've been praying for you, Marlene, and we love you, and we're so glad that you're here with us today. Kitty Fuller is home from the hospital. We need to keep her in our prayers for her recovery. She's getting over pneumonia. And I've been at annual conference, and so I'm not really sure how Johnita Hoffman is doing. If anyone knows, I need to call the hospital and find out if she's there or if she has gone home. I'm not aware. But she needs to be in our prayers because her legs have been in very bad shape. And we will covet those prayers on her behalf this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. We come to you, O God, in a time of shock and sadness for our country. We grieve this loss of lives in this senseless act of violence. Strong deliverer, we seek your protection, strength, and comfort for us in this time, for the victims, for the families. May your presence be made known to all who grieve today. May your strength be with all those who have survived, who will live with the memory of the event forever. And we pray especially for the people of Orlando, but our prayers include all who have experienced the horror and violence from acts of terror in this world. Prince of Peace, we surrender our desire for revenge to you. We remember your call to pray for those who would persecute us, to pray for our enemies. And so we do pray for the one who has caused this act of violence, who has brought fear and death into our world. We ask you, O God, to protect us from our own anger, that we might not become like those who cause terror. Help us to mirror instead your image in this world, to be peacemakers, to pursue the path of peaceful living as far as it depends on us. Help us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. Help us to seek your restoration and your way of life that is renewed and restored through your death on the cross. Help us not to live in fear, but to walk in hope. In the name of the Christ, the one who lived, died, and lives again, so that we might have life abundantly, we pray using the words he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 361, we'll sing Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages. Thank you.
Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Love for your enemies. You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We also have added a second scripture reading, which will come from the 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 19. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. These are the words of God for the people of God. Amen.
It was Sunday last week, the Lord's Day. For some of us, it was on the way to church or while we were here when we were mortified by the news out of Orlando. Another mass killing. How many mass killings have there been? We begin to lose count. I could see it on the face of our president as he brought us those words. He seemed resigned to the fact that it had happened again. The ache inside, the revulsion. Even though numbed by the sheer repetitiveness of this news story, you can't turn off the TV coverage. Even our youngest children have been watching what's been going on all week. A massive shudder has fallen over the world, and I sit quietly prepared for tears, but I'm just numb. I want to hear the names. To say 49 were killed, 50 total, and it's a record for the United States, seems wrong-headed somehow. Give me the names. I want to know them. Each one has a mother, a brother, a coworker, a neighbor, a teammate. A person with a name is a life, a story, a part of God's lovely creation. A beautiful story. Because of the identity of those killed, we will rightly hear a cry on behalf of LGBTQ people and the Latino community. The point to be made, really, is that people are just people. Lewis, who ran the Harry Potter ride. Kimberly, who greeted people at the cell phone store. And Juan, who just come out to his family. In the first hours after every mass killing, when little is known, news agencies have to fill the time. And so much of the talk from the talking heads is speculation. Who was the killer? What was his motive? What were his thoughts? The important truth to bear in mind is that we really don't know. We can only infer and guess what was on his mind. We have no idea what was in his head. Maybe he was drawn to radical Islam, but felt same-gender sexual stirrings, and this was his way out, perhaps. We cannot know what is in someone else's heart. If Omar Mateen hated LGBTQ people, he did not know them. He made a thicket of false assumptions about them, which is precisely what goes wrong in our culture, which is terrified by anyone who is other. As followers of Jesus, I'm here to tell you today that we never begin by prejudging anybody, ever. That's not our job to judge. We go to the trouble instead to listen, to learn, and never to assume that we think. I have a friend who believes that there's a desire that LGBT exists there. And I hope he's wrong, because as Jesus people, we never wish some other person would just go away or not exist. Because they're here. They're part of God's creation. The only other that we want to get rid of is hate. Jesus anticipated that we'd feel harshly toward the other, so he pretty clearly told us, as we heard in our scripture reading, to love our enemy. Pastors should say something or do something, and some have. But what? What do you do? I want to tell you what the Israelites did when national catastrophe struck them. They would gather as a people and fast and pray. Psalms like 44, 74, and 80. These corporate prayers that they prayed together were not for justice or even changing the law. They cried out to God, "How long, O Lord?" And they shook God asleep. For how could God let something like this happen? They repented instead of blaming. So I suspect that we should, and some have, opened their churches for special services to read the names of the deceased and read these psalms, which I mentioned. But we good Christians have not just tolerated, but sometimes have created and funded a culture obsessed with guns and violence. We have, to an extent, propped up politicians who pander to fear and tough talk. We have a lot of repenting to do for our part in this. Was what Mateen did terror or hate or some combination of both? Our category, as Christians, we call whatever he did sin. But sin is the condition of the entire fallen world that we live in. So on days like this, it's time for all of us to get on our knees and talk with God and to get some things worked out. When these moments descend upon us, we realize the work we should have been doing and had better get busy with before the next tragedy occurs. And as we heard in the reading from 2 Corinthians, our primary task as Christians is the ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes when we debate the LGBTQ issue in the church, we forget that there are always names: somebody's son, somebody's sister. And I have to wonder if our judgment in church might actually foster a culture in which hatred is not just acceptable, but actually holy. And we've seen the reaction of some of those this week. And I think, at the very least, our tone should be mercy. Reconciliation starts when we know the names, the stories, the love, and change in the communities where we live. There has been pressure to denounce Islam. Some clergy can up their popularity by castigating Muslims and wishing we were rid of them. And other more enlightened clergy need to clarify that what we see on the world stage is a perversion of Islam, not true Islam. It is up to us to stand in the breach at such times and say, "My Muslim friends are horrified and sorrowful too. But you can do so only if you've made friends with Muslims and phoned them up in the hours after such a tragedy." There will, of course, be a lot of talk about gun control. Some Christians will demand it as a fix to this mess, and other Christians will explain how background checks won't help or that guns make us more secure, or that this or that strategy won't fix things. But isn't it time to do something, even if it only makes the tiniest dent, or maybe even doesn't accomplish very much? Because if someone you love has been shot, you do something. Even if you don't have a medical degree, even if you don't have a PhD, even if it doesn't really help, you can't just do nothing. Our country is hemorrhaging, and drastic triage is required. Don't Christians whose Lord said to put your sword away, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword, have some holy obligation to labor tirelessly to do something, anything? Ours is to stand with and for those who are hated in Orlando, in Charleston, in any and all places where children, precious children of God, are despised and mercilessly slaughtered. Beyond question, our problems are too massive for us to fix this week or even in a lifetime. But we begin today. Quite rightly, we pray and fervently, not merely for God to soothe the grief of victims' families, but to turn the whole world on its axis, to change a nation, to convert hearts, to temper a culture bent on distrust. We need and dare to expect a miracle. And we ask God what we can do as individuals and as God's church. And then we do it with courage and mercy. And as Zechariah 9 says, we are indeed prisoners of hope. Even while we grieve, repent, and look for God's waking dawn. And to each of God's children, one by one, each with a name and a story and a precious child of God, we act in love because that's who we are. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn your hymnals to page 140, we'll sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Next week of having our youth lead some of the worship service next week, and Fran Ronan, our youth director, is going to bring the message for us. I'm excited about that. Unfortunately, I won't be here. I will be away next week at a family reunion, taking my mom and my dad. And so we pray, ask your prayers for traveling mercies for us on our trip. And thank you all very much for continuing to hold the fort and raise the flag and stand as Christians. I am so grateful to you. Let us receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen.